got one question for you. Are you ready?
Hey, everybody, what is going on? It is yet another day of Tasty Licks Music. What is going on? We have James. How's it going, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing today? Thanks for joining us, Red. Nice to have you on.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be here, guys.
Yep. So, Red, it is awesome to have you on. And Red Waters, which is an amazing name. I'm sure we're going to get into the name in a few minutes. Absolutely. Some of my favorite blues people have the name Waters in it. One of them, Majorly Muddy. So how's it going, man? How are you doing? Drinking some tea? Loving it?
Doing excellent, man. Yeah, I'm really happy to be here with you guys.
Right on, man. So guess what? We always got to start off with the desserts of the day. We got some amazing stuff going. I think I may beat the chef today. I'm just going to say, I'm going to lay it down. I'm throwing down the gauntlet right now. That's what I'm doing. I think I beat him, especially with fall. This is a fall food, fall dessert. Absolutely. So I'm going to show it. It is pumpkin spice bread.
Woo! Oh,
snap. I love that.
I love pumpkin spice. So I was like, oh, bread. Yeah. What do you got going on, man? I know that...
So I did two things.
Two.
I did two things. I started one of the things on Tuesday, actually. So I got kind of like a little head start a little bit.
Oh, man. So what do you got? Let's see this.
The first one, we got the, I did like a little chocolate covered, like cherry type things. This is kind of like what they look like in the middle.
Yeah, very nice.
Something like that. And then you got the like a French like apple cake.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, they do like a little powdered sugar on it. So yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay, he beat me again. I thought I had one, him.
The cherry is really sweet, but the actual like the cake is actually like it's like half of that. It's like not even really. It'll go good with like ice cream or whatever you want to put with it. So yeah, it's really good.
That's awesome. What's up, Chris, in the chat room? What's going on, buddy? It's good to see you. Chris. Thanks for joining. So, Red, man, we got some. Let's talk some dessert for a second and some food. Yes. What is so on your? We always ask the question on your gigs, on your road tours. What is your go-to food?
Well, desserts, cheesecake. Cheesecake's the only dessert that's giving me full body chills, you know.
Just like a what kind of, just any cheesecake, or you have a specific flavor that you like?
Any cheesecake. Yeah. I don't have a go-to. I just, if it says cheesecake, I'm in, you know. That's it.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's my go-to.
And so is it cheesecake? You are from New York, so is it New York cheesecake to everybody else? You just call it cheesecake because you're in New York?
It's New York cheesecake for sure. Anything else is not. It's not quite it's as fake. Good.
It's cheese fake.
Yeah, we're spoiled. And the other food is pizza. I eat pizza a lot. Yeah.
What is your toppings? So that's the question for topping. And you come from New York, so there's always some weird toppings.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge usually I'm not a huge toppings guy because I try not to eat too much meat. But when I am going all out, you know, I'll eat some bacon, chicken, barbecue. I always dip my pizza in ranch. That's my thing.
There you go.
Even if
we have the coveted question of pineapple on pizza.
Is that love a thing? Love it.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, huge fan.
Oh snap! There we go,
Chris. Make sure you take that back to somebody that we know that does not like pineapple.
Yeah, no, I love it. There's nothing on pizza I wouldn't eat. Love it.
That's the whole thing that we have in the community. The beard world is pineapple. The way our steak is done, and if there's pineapple belonging on pizza.
Oh, and so we'll have to ask him the question. How do you now that I know you're probably less meaty, you know, you're less eat, but if you were to eat a steak, what would be your steak? How would you have it cooked?
It would be medium well, filet mignon. Medium well filet mignon.
There we go.
I'll pass. I mean, that's a pass. I'm saying well done is like the coveted, like, no.
I can't get past the, hey, this is at least medium well has some medium in it.
It's still a little.
When it's all well, all well is it took the flavor out. Yeah, it's like took the flavor out. Absolutely.
I like the sides to be a little crusted, you know, like where there it gets kind of, not burnt, but. I don't know what the word is, but
grill marks, some nice grill marks.
Exactly.
The char.
Yeah. Charcoal.
I'm a little bit of the Ruth Chris fan with that buttery craziness that comes off it while it's sizzling, while it's coming to your plate, while you're sitting there. You're just like this bubbling, sizzling bubble. And you're like, oh, yeah, it's coming. Steak is coming my way. I had to make this.
You guys are making me hungry, man.
I know. Steak is so good. And I haven't had steak in like forever. I think actually my wife said, hey, you know what? We got $25 to Texas Roadhouse. And I was like, count me in. So right on. So Red, man, I absolutely dig your music. And I'm sure that James is digged in, and we both have very similar tastes, and he's like me. We have a very good wide appreciation for music, even though we may have the metal love. We definitely have opened our eyes to so much music, and man, blues, jazz,
whatever I found on YouTube, the Dirt and Ash. Amazing stuff with it. I say one of my favorites is definitely like Homage or the Oh Sweet Blues is definitely on my playlist a majority of the last few days.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Those are some of my favorites too.
So raw. I'm going to say this. I wondered about this is like, did the lyrics come first? Or did you have the music come first, or is it kind of something that just comes together at the same time?
Every song is a little different. I mean, it's usually one or the other comes first. You know, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. Yeah, so one, you know, a lot of times I might just start, you know, playing like a little something, and then I'm like, oh. And then, you know, I start hearing, hearing the chord changes, and then I sit and start to write. Other times I get some words, you know, something going on lyrically, and then I'm like, I got to go write, and then I go to the piano or the guitar, and I just start writing.
You build off of it, yeah.
But yeah, usually it's one or the other, but usually the music, I like to get as much of, you know, something going on with the music to inspire the lyrics and the melodies, you know, but it works both ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can tell, and what was your favorite parts, James? I mean, I absolutely loved. There were so many different facets I want to talk about, but James, I want to hit you up first. What was some of your favorite stuff?
Oh, I started with Homage, and then I mean after that I went to Kayla. But like, each one has just a different style to it. Even though it's like bluesy and like has the rock and stuff like that, I was trying to kind of pick each one, like, what does this sound like? Have I heard this kind of style before from like somebody else, or, you know, does this sound like a different song? And it's like, that's what kind of made me, like I said, it's, I think it brings up a lot of memories of just different songs that I might have heard growing up or whatever. So I think that's what I like more about it as well, even the lyrics as well. So how it's pieced together, I think it's, I think it works really well.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely different songs remind me of different things too. It's cool to see how, like, you know, the influences, all the different influences kind of just come out of you when you write.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't even notice it until I notice it. I'm like, oh, wow, that feels like Dylan, you know, like, or that feels like the Eagles, you know, or like, you know, I'm getting, I don't know, just, you know, even like, you know, that Chen Rizzi song that I wrote, for some reason, there was that one album Bright Eyes had, a very emo album, like I'm Wide Awake and It's Morning. And for some reason, I felt like there was some inspiration popping out from there, you know. So I noticed it in myself, you know, the influences just kind of brimming over, you know.
Absolutely. And that was what was so amazing. I'm a music snob in some ways, and I like picking out great things about what each, you know, every song that I hear, I like try to pick out something I love about it. I can tell you that you have whole songs. And what I mean by that is it's not just the guitar, it's not just the piano, it's not just the scales, it's not just the vocals, it's not just the lyrics in this. It's a whole song. It has great components all the way through and played well. Phrasing was amazing. Some of the I'm a guitarist, so of course I'm a little biased on the guitarist. The phrasing on the guitar was amazing. The piano had great phrasing because it's also, and we talk about this a lot, there's space in between the notes. And I want to get your, what is it? I know that you had some, go into a little bit of your history. I know that you've had so much. I want to hear about how this music came together, because there's so much, I can tell there's so much influence of different things in there. So tell us a little bit about your influences and what kind of got you here to this debut album. It's amazing.
Yeah, totally. Well, you know, I think just, you know, over the years, I mean, influences wise, you know, I mean, I went to music school at Berkeley for jazz piano. And, you know, I was like, when I was there, I went fully jazz, you know, I didn't really listen to much else. I just played jazz and just shredded and, a lot of bebop, you know, and all that stuff. And, you know, but then after that, you know, I took like this long break where it was just like, I mean, it was hard to listen to jazz and I didn't really know, you know, just, you know, my inspiration was kind of like, you know, not there. And, you know, then what I came to is I realized I'm a songwriter, you know, I just kind of, that's what I do. I sing and I write songs, you know, and for me, the joy is like constructing a great song. And there I have the freedom to just like write the songs that I personally want to hear, you know? So for one thing, it was just like, when I started writing songs, I was like, man, you know, for me, it's not easy to find, you know, people where when I find someone I like and I listen to them for months, you know, sometimes just that one artist. So, you know, writing the songs that I wanted to hear was so satisfying. But in terms of influences, I mean, it started when I was young with Muddy Waters, you know, Jimi Hendrix, this pianist, Pine Top Perkins and Howlin' Wolf and all that stuff. I was a big fan of this guitarist, Bill Perry, when I was young. I don't know if you guys know him, but I used to see him a lot. And, you know, Dylan, you know, Bob Dylan was a big one. The Band, that's probably one of my biggest influences early years. And then Steely Dan, I'd say, you know, a huge influence. So, you know, and then later on, John Fulbright, you know, from Oklahoma. So, you know, I mean, I can't name them all, but,
right.
You know, then, but I will say Rufus Wainwright, you know, I'd say the last few years, Rufus Wainwright, John Fulbright, Father John Misty. And, yeah, I really like some of Ray LaMontagne's songwriting too. So, you know, all that kind of just came together in me and, But then life experiences pushed out the songs, you know what I mean? That's what happened, you know, it's just the songs just had to come out and they came out, you know.
I remember listening to a lot of, as a kid, listening to my mom, like, that's how I learned a lot of, like, the old bluesy or classic rock type stuff was from my mom or my dad, playing Steely Dan or Van Morrison or, oh man, or the Eagles. I mean, that's how I was really kind of introduced to a lot of different rock and stuff like that when I was really early on, like 8, 9 years old, as I can remember back. But yeah, that's what's kind of with your music. It brings back to like around that time where I listened to classic rock and first introduced to that.
That's super cool. Yeah. Yeah. Me too. And I remember that tune, by the Eagles, Desperado, you know?
Yeah.
Just like tunes like that, I've always been a sucker for. I mean, I'm probably not alone in that, but, you know, just those soulful classic rock tunes.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. I could tell I'm into the blues. So you had me sold at the blues. The one thing that I will say that I like the fact that you put piano is not the piano and the guitar together instrumentally really work in your songs. They're really, really a good collaboration between the two. And to get that to happen, sometimes it is really hard because, you know, you're having sometimes piano is so rich that the guitar is drowned out, or you push up the gain on the guitar and it's drowning out the background of the piano. But I like the interplay between the two instruments. And then, you know, you definitely had I just dug the piano parts. And now that I know that you play the piano parts, what is your favorite part of playing the piano that kind of like, I know that, you know, you sit at 7 and you're like, I want to play an instrument, and somebody sits you in front of, and you know, the piano maybe. And did you think that is that something that's always inspired you? I want to play piano. That's my thing. Well, or is that something that just became it over time?
Well, my dad played some piano, so that was, you know, he was into it. And then, you know, and he showed me like the best music, and for some reason I was obsessed with Jerry Lee Lewis growing up. I mean, you know, he was lighting the piano on fire and, you know, and standing up and just rocking out, you know. So you know, that was my big inspiration first. I was always playing, you know, Great Balls of Fire and a whole lot of shaking going on, and you know, so I didn't, when I was growing up, wasn't into reading music or classical. I just played straight blues, you know, only blues for, you know, until really I was older and started getting into jazz. So, you know, it was like, and I almost felt like I had to, like, I don't want to say hide it, but I was like the only sixth grader playing the blues, you know. It was like, it was definitely not, I didn't know anyone else who was like really into what,
yeah,
I
was, no, playing. Anybody was definitely not playing the,
yeah,
blues.
You know, and I was singing about like stuff that I didn't know about at that time, you know, like singing songs.
I mean, around that age, I guess you didn't have, you know, the blues. It was like, so
I didn't have anything to be. Well, I mean, I went through some stuff pretty early, but, you know, thinking about stuff about, like, you know, they're talking about your wife leaving you for another man and, you know, being down and out. In the hoochie coochie, man, you know.
love it. Yeah.
But yeah, I love the piano, man. I mean, that was my thing. And yeah,
it's a beautiful instrument, and
it's fun.
I would say that my dad, it is fun. Yeah, my dad, and who's been on here before, is played piano all my life. I've been around pianos. I didn't pick it up. I was a guitarist. I wanted to play guitar. I wanted to be an 80s rock glam band guy. But I absolutely have an appreciation for piano because I've heard it all my life, and good piano. There is a couple pieces that I was like, man, that is straight Americana, something my dad would play and compose. There was especially a couple of your intros. I was like, oh, that is so awesome. I loved it. I was like, it brought me back to sitting home with my dad. And that's what kind of music he played. He was a jazz, kind of a jazzy pianist himself. So I think he has a lot of that grassroots jazz inside of him as well. And some of, I was just like, oh, this is so calming. That's the other thing I'm going to say is your voice is so, it is so unique and calming, but yet definitely is geared towards blues and jazz. I can see it. I totally get it. And what an, I mean, just a great voice. We were talking a little bit about it and I was listening to it earlier while I was making the bread and one of my kids came in and said, I can't place this guy. And they said, sounds like the guy from Toy Story.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say the same thing. I was thinking the same exact thing. I was listening to Homage.
Yes,
I'm like, man, that sounds like him.
It's wild, man, because you know, I heard some Randy Newman songs earlier in life, but until people really started saying that a lot, you know, then I started listening to Randy Newman, and man, I fell in love with that guy's music, and so huge influence for sure. I mean, just great songs, incredible arrangements.
John Mayer feel too as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yes. John Mayer feel too.
Yeah, he's a great player.
He is. He absolutely is. And I was he's a great guitarist, and I saw him sitting in with some blues guys the other day, B.B. King. And they were just going back and forth. And I'm just like, that is so cool. And B.B. King kind of put him in his place because he was like talking back a little bit to him. And I'm like, B.B. King just said, I'm going to walk out of here. And he's like, he shut up and let him and just like, okay, let's just play back and forth a little bit. Yeah, I loved it. I was like, that's right. You respect the king.
Right.
I love
yeah, Shine the King.
He leaves a lot of space, you know, like, and that's really what I like too, is like, you know, minimalism sometimes to a fault, you know, like, it's like I want it to be really, you know, really a lot of space, you know, a lot of openness. And BB definitely does that. You know, he doesn't play a lot of notes.
But it's the phrasing and it's the anticipation he's building. And that's what I think. You have that same thing. You have that same thing. Great blues guitarists don't have to play huge amounts of scale, or musicians, period. They don't have to play, you know, these crazy fast licky scales. I think it's just slowing it down, especially with blues, because it's just being able to express your emotion in a very, you know, whatever, in a very way that just, you know, with a bend, with, you know, with your piano in your case, just being able to slow it down and express it by the notes themselves. And I absolutely love that. So, and I think that you definitely have, you're up in that same level. I mean, it's amazing to me that every week we get like amazing musician. This debut album is one that I think every person should go check out on. I always push Spotify. I know you have iTunes on there on your website, but I'm a Spotify guy because I think you get some money off of the plays. I don't know if you get them off of iTunes. I'm not sure, but
yeah, you get something. It's not much no matter what. I know that.
0.0006 cents per play. But here's what we're going to say. But here's my challenge for all of you. And I want everybody in this live stream and later, I want you in the comments to leave your favorite Red Water song on the bottom and then maybe a little bit of description why. So that's what my challenge for anybody later in or right now. Go listen to some. Don't leave the chance. Don't leave our show to go listen, of course. You know. We're actually going to have some Red Waters in here in a few minutes. So you guys can't leave. Because there's going to be some live performance you can, you know, but I do want you all to just go check him out on Spotify, iTunes, any of the major music platforms. This new debut album is amazing. Yeah, now, tell me more about your debut album. This is beautiful. Well,
I'll tell you somewhere. Yeah. I mean, for one, I just wanted to say, when you mentioned influences, I got to give credit to Old Crow Medicine Show. I don't know if you listen to them, but their Americana, you know, definitely inspired me a lot. You know, so I just wanted to shout them out, you know, when Willie Watson was in the band. And so, you know, this album, for one, you know, I got great musicians, you know, and definitely couldn't have made the album without them. And, you know, there was magic that happened in the studio, you know, and it was unforgettable. You know, I think for me, the hardest thing was getting it to sound what I had in my head, you know, right. Which was just, you know, and I pretty much, I'd say I got 98%, you know, the way I wanted it, you know, and you know, I really wanted it to, yeah, to be, to not have too much, just to have a lot of space, you know, to really feel the emotional raw expression of what I was trying to express. And yeah, I think, you know, we did that. So, you know, it was one of the most fun things I've ever done was recording that album, you know, for sure. Yeah.
Now, were you doing some of the engineering and producing, or you went to a studio and you were like, hey, you knew somebody, or what was your experience with being able to record it?
We went to a great studio in called Big Orange Sheep in Brooklyn. And, you know, the owner, Chris, there, he was doing the engineering and he was fantastic, you know, very chill guy. So, you know, everybody was so cool. And so it was a great studio, great piano. And it was a very, perfect setting for, you know, for this album.
I get to totally tell this. It is a really great album. James have jammed out all week to this, and just inspirational is what I can also say about this album, because I can tell that there's some very painful moments that you talked about, Homage being one of them, where you were talking some other, you know, Homage was actually not painful because it was actually to teachers. But I could tell that through some of the other songs that you had on there, Kayla, that there was a lot of, I love good lyrics, and I had to actually, at first I'll hear the music and I'll definitely hear the guitar, but then I actually start digging into the lyrics the second and third time, and holy moly. Wooden Buddha, you know, some very Buddhist imagery in there. Chesri being the Buddha of compassion. Very cool being able to work that into a song. I absolutely love that. But talk to me about your lyrics. I mean, I can definitely tell that there was a lot of emotion behind it and some of your journey. Maybe kind of tell us about the journey and then tell us why those, you know, some of the lyrics that go along.
Totally. Yeah. So, you know, I guess really just from my life experiences, you know, a lot of painful, you know, when I was younger, a lot of addiction, you know, and a lot of just, you know, hard times. And, you know, basically when I went to write these, like I said, they needed to come out, you know, and I needed to express them. And so I really wrote accurately, you know, I basically just wrote down experiences from my life, you know, in song form. So those are all just, you know, real experiences, you know, that I went through, and, you know, just telling the story of my life pretty much, you know, so yeah.
Well done on it. I mean, I could definitely tell the depth. There's some of those songs really hit me because I've been in positions similar. And I think that when you as a listener can get that emotional about it as well, you've done a good job. Yeah. You know, I felt that you really did a great job of being able to tell your story. But then it's also general enough to where a listener can say, I've been there too. I totally understand those feelings, that vibe. Especially like love lost or having to walk away from a lover and saying, I can't be here anymore. This isn't for me anymore. Yeah. And you can tell the pain that's somewhat there's so much pain involved in that walking away, but also a journey that happened to where you got to that level to where you realized that's not where you wanted to be. And then you also talk about like with Chendri, I definitely picked up that because I know who that is and what the representation is. So, you know, being able to connect with the different people in that song, I thought that was really cool, is that it was different people inside of it, as well as the, you know, the Chendri as well. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it was kind of like, you know, like, you know, some people say God was in the darkest places kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of vibe, you know,
my totally own that's...
little version of that, of my own experiences, kind of looking back on things, you know, looking at back on dark times and being like, wow, you know, it's amazing that, and for one, all these experiences led to me being here right now. For two, you know, that I made it out of those situations, you know, unscathed, you know. So, yeah. And just yeah. that, like, you know, love is always available, you know, even when you're in the thick of it, you can look back and see, you know, there's always that option of, you know, connecting, so...
Yeah, and you say in your bio, so I'm going to bring this up, because I'm a Buddhist as well. So to get to that, to everything's a spiritual experience, and I know that for a Buddhist, that's exactly what our lives are, and that's what I definitely pick up in all of your in your music, Chisri being the Buddha of compassion, and then additionally, just being able to say this is where I was at, and then drawing from that experience something that. You know, especially with music, I think you can emotionally say, this is where I've been at. And then at the very end that, you know, there's like a kind of a wrap up with your blues, your, you know, the end song is just absolutely a wrap up, right?
Yes.
Of just kind of a very highlight, very positive song about here's this journey that I've been on through it throughout. And you're with it. You're on it with me. And then the very end song is just this very positive bluesy song that just really kind of wraps up the album. I love it.
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely wanted that one to be the last, you know, particularly because, you know, my life musically started with blues, and, you know, I just, it felt good to cap off the album with something extremely bluesy, you know. Mm-hmm. So that felt really good. And, you know, I wanted to mention too, you know, part of, I think, what captured it so well was we played all these songs live, so, you know, it was just, you know, there was no, except the organ, you know, because I didn't have four hands, you know, I layered in some organ, but in the Orly on homage, but, you know, we played this stuff live, and I sang it live, and, you know, I really wanted that, you know, because it just felt like, you know, even if, you know, I just wanted to capture the emotion more than anything, you know, that's kind of what took precedence, so.
What do you think, James? I think I know that I've talked a lot, but what's your thoughts?
I've never seen a blues show live. So I mean, it's got to be like, it's one of those where like the show kind of matches the CD, you know what I'm saying? Like what you listen to on the album is more like what kind of matches when you see it live. So I would definitely want to get a chance to see like a blues show live and experience that.
Yeah, man, that'd be awesome. It's definitely takes on a whole other character, I think, live, you know, for sure, especially just the interplay of audience and musicians, you know. I was thinking about that recently.
Even the audience kind of feels what you're playing, you know what I'm saying, rather than kind of just listening it to a CD live, you kind of get more of like a good positive, more, you know, vibe out of it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's always interesting just writing these songs and thinking like, if there was nobody to hear them, you know,
right,
just what changes, you know, like is it even the same thing anymore, you know, nobody ever hears it, you know. I don't know, not to go down that rabbit hole, but
no, it's okay. It's musically, I think that's what I really love. This is bringing back some really great memories, but it also is bringing back a old, you know, some old feel to songs. It doesn't have to be digitized. I could definitely tell that there was, I love the fact that you played live, because that actually really is nice, because you had all these performers with you in that energy, and that energy I think was very well picked up on the album. So that makes sense of why there was such synergy happening at the time between the instruments. I was, oh, this got played live together and then recorded that way. So yeah. Absolutely. I love that stuff. That's beautiful. What was your favorite part about that?
Well, for one, it was really intimate because, you know, my songs are very revealing of my life and, you know, the most biggest struggles I've been through. So, you know, we hadn't at that point really, we were basically just meeting, you know, me and these guys, you know, I mean, I didn't know them that well, and we got really close through that, I think, like, that experience of just, you know, I felt like I was sharing a part of myself, and it was musically, and then it all came together to form this beautiful album. And, you know, I think the homage I really enjoyed making, you know, it was honestly one of the, I wrote it very fast, that song. And, you know, that was one of the more uplifting, at least just my sort of gratitude song, you know, for teachers and, you know, mentors. And, you know, the guitar solo that JJ, the guitarist, did on that one, I just, for me, it was like, it felt legendary, and it was so beautiful. So that was a moment on the album that I just, when that solo came in, I was like, it felt like a classic rock, just beautiful moment. So, you know, I really appreciated his solo there.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Absolutely, yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, and I can tell that James liked that one as well. And that was because I think that's what you pick up, is that there was a really good vibe with that song. I think appreciation, yeah, and gratitude is so important. And I appreciate you doing something like that. It's not only just taking you on the emotional journey of some of your past relationships and love that's lost, and, you know, things that have happened in your life that are positive and bad, but being able to show gratitude in every, even throughout all the dark times, just showing gratitude for the people that did give you light. That is so awesome. I really love that.
Totally. Yeah. I wanted to, you know, when I was thinking of naming the album, you know, if I wanted to be really cheesy, I wanted to write it as Tales from the Underworld, you know? But I decided that was just like too much, you know, but it's kind of, so, you know, I just thought, you know, kind of were, from a Buddhist perspective, like songs of samsara and nirvana, you know? So, you know, that's kind of what I was thinking, but yeah, I had a lot of different names come up. That was one of them. I just wanted to mention that.
Ah, that's awesome. They're cool. Thank you very much. Okay. So go ahead, James. I know you do your research, and is there any questions that you have for Red? Because I know that you dig through the you dig in the web and you find things. That's so so what do you got today?
How long have you been playing like all together?
I've been playing since I was like about 7 years old.
Oh wow!
Yeah, playing, like I said, growing up I played only blues, and I didn't read, and I played that from, you know, pretty much from that until about 20, you know, and then I got put onto the jazz path for a while, and but yeah, so a long time, and guitar was since I was on and off since I was 11.
That's awesome. I remember growing up around my neighborhood, people starting to kind of like, they're playing bass or they're playing drums. I tried to do a couple things myself. I did like a lot of like keyboard, or I kind of listened to, you know, I didn't know how to read music, so I kind of listened to the notes of what I was playing. So I did like a little bit of a keyboard in high school, and played alto saxophone in high school and stuff like that. I tried doing like some drum lessons and along that nature, but I never was able to stick to it because of my work schedule. So, but yeah, it's just something that's always fascinated me. I still always want to learn like an instrument and actually like fully learn it. I think it'd be I think guitar would be the first instrument I would like to play.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Like full on playing.
I know. There's a couple people that you probably know that could probably give you some hints and some, yeah, some things that probably some tips, because most of a lot of the guys that we meet, and you know, yours truly is into guitar. So
very cool.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that piano, guitar, your instrument or vocalist, it kind of just finds you sometimes, and that's just what happens. Do you feel like that's the case, that like this just, it just like it found you? You're a pianist, you're a guitarist, you're a vocalist, and did it just kind of like find you? You're like, this is what I do.
Yeah, well, it really did with the songwriting, you know, because you know, like I said, I grew up and I was bluesed out, you know. I mean, and then, you know, I didn't want to play just, I got tired of just, you know, playing the three chord blues. I love it, but it was like, I did it so much for so long that I was like, you know, I was hungry for something else, you know, like it was like the food I was eating, I was full on it, even though it's good food. And then, you know, so yeah, then, you know, with the jazz, it was great, but it was like, you know, I just always felt like, you know, the bebop, like I just felt like I wasn't quite, I don't know, it wasn't my thing, like to just play the straight, even though I loved it, you know. So I just went through this period where it was like, you know, all my favorite things, the blues, the jazz, then all this folk music I listened to in Americana, is like, you know, I honestly just didn't really know exactly where I wanted to go with my music. And then, yeah, it all came together when I started actually, you know, writing lyrics and songs, you know. And then I was like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, 100%. And now I've become more, it's just gotten more and more fun, you know, actually being like, oh, well, I'm going to write a song like this, and, you know, doing different vibes. And, you know, so, and listening to songwriters, man, like Regina Spektor, man, Fiona Apple, just people that are like, they just, to me, they write perfect songs, you know. And, you know, so I just want to emulate my, I guess my idols, you know, my heroes, you know.
Yeah, you did a great job.
Thanks, man.
Bob Dylan. That's the first song. I was like, that's Dylan. That is Dylan, yeah, right there. Yes.
Or Kayla, which one?
I was thinking, wait a second, I'm going to go.
You're probably thinking Kayla, right?
I was. That's the first one that showed up on Spotify for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the second two. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely Dylan vibes, and totally, man. And Townes Van Zandt, you know, I'm a big fan of his. And yeah, I didn't realize how much Dylan influenced me until I started hearing myself sing that stuff. I was like, man, I listened to a lot, you know, growing up. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that Dylan was a songwriter. You know, whether you love his vocals or not, and people, his lyrics were outstanding. It was poetry. And that's what I got from your entire album, was you have a poet's heart, and being able to write those lyrics down. Usually, you know, we'll talk to a few people and there's usually a lyricist involved somewhere that's helping them, or a poet or somebody that's helping them write this stuff. The fact that you're able to channel that and then also play the piano the way that you do, hands down, amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, I really love it. The lyrics part is the hardest part for me. You know, the chords, it's like, and the progressions tend to just flow. I sit down and it's just, you know, that part's pretty easy. But the lyrics is the hardest part, because it's, you know, if it's not flowing, it's not flowing, you know.
Right.
But when it's, you know, it's hard to be satisfied with them. You know, but the piano part is easy for me to find the inspiration, you know. So
what's your favorite pattern for playing? What is it? Is it like your 1-4-5, 1-6-7? What are you playing?
Well, for one, I just want to mention a favorite blues riff, New Orleans blues riff. You know, I've just, ever since I could do it, it's always been my favorite, and I'm just going to show you. It's you know, just that, because, I just love that New Orleans sound, you know, so I'm just like, I can't get enough of that. So you'll probably hear more of that in my music, you know, cause it's like it's not a guilty.
That is like a happy sound. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
It puts you in just a different mood. I mean, if you're having, you're just in a bad mood, you know, just in a mood, you know what I'm saying? That definitely kind of switches it around.
But lately, my favorite like chord progression is like, you know, it's kind of when the one goes to the 2-7, you know, when you get a, and then the 5 back to 1. So
there you go. So you're bringing it home.
Yeah, and then of course the four going to the diminished, the sharp four, and then I can't get enough of that. You know, all the classic, just the classic progressions in jazz and like folk. Yeah. And
that's what I was saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, that's exactly what I was thinking. No, that's exactly what I was thinking.
And one to four, you know, I love. I've always just been a sucker for when the one chord goes to the four, but you stay with the bass on one, and you know, you just get that whole like. You know, like Elton John does it a lot. Everybody does it. Bob Dylan. It's just, you know, all the classic things, man. You know,
anything. Ray Charles really does that too.
Yeah. Exactly.
Remember Ray Charles when you played that.
Love Ray Charles, man.
Yeah, very cool. Very good influence.
Not to mention him, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Isn't it funny that I think that's the interesting thing as a musician, if you've heard any musicians, they've inspired you in some way.
Yes.
Because you're a musician and it's in your blood. And being a musician is just part of everything that's ever happened before you and what's ever going to happen ahead of you. It's inner web of connectedness of music that's always been throughout time. And I think that all of that stuff is like when you say, hey, you know, I think that Ozzy Osbourne's a prime example. He would put his classical pieces in there because he was saying the roots are this. And it is the root of rock. It's the root of jazz. Jazz being the American, you know, the American music is jazz. We're the ones that created, I think, blues too, honestly. We're the ones that, you know, and there's so many different varieties of jazz and blues. What is your favorite variety of blues? Because there's so many, you know, so many blues types and genres.
Like meaning like blues rock or blues folk or.
Or Memphis blues, Chicago blues. You said Louisiana, so your Delta blues.
Yeah, I love it all, man. I love some of that, like, I was been looking for my guitar, that, like, Texas blues, you know? And
ZZ Top-ish.
Yeah, that stuff's cool. And I love the, you know, just that, like, finger-picking style. What's his name? You know, oh, I forgot to mention, you know, Leon Redbone. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but you know, Leon Redbone is I love some of his bluesy stuff on guitar.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But yeah, Memphis blues, Delta blues, everything blues. Yeah. New Orleans blues, you know, I mean, and that Dixieland style.
Oh, with the jazz. Oh, yeah. A little bit of jazziness to it. Yep. I agree. Yeah. So those are my favorite blues are still that Delta, the Southern blues. Like you have that whole genre of Delta, Memphis. I've gotten used to Chicago because they have that full band orchestration piece that usually goes with Chicago blues.
Yeah.
But I've always liked like the Hooker, the Waters, you know, some of that early blues stuff that was just guys coming in off the street. You know, making a record and back in the early 40s and 50s and 60s and just playing, you know, a worn out guitar that they knew how to play. And, you know, you have that sound that's just raw emotion and, you know, them just displaying really great blues licks.
Totally, man. That makes me think of like Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, I mean, huge, huge. Steve Ray Vaughan, you know, just the raw energy and you know, just the vibe, man.
Totally right. So now we're in this position where we get to hear some live music, and I think that that's a lot of, you know, I cannot wait for people to hear this music. I mean, we've been talking about it, but let's get on with the music. Do you, and before I leave, James, do you have any last questions for him?
No, I mean, not right now. I'm talking thinking right now, maybe after the music or whatever, when we close out, maybe I'll have one, but, I'm starting to see it. So
I just drank the whole thing of tea. So you guys talk, I'll be right back.
No worries, man. All right. No worries.
20 seconds. For that, I want to play well, you know?
Yeah. No worries. This is live, guys. This is live YouTube right now.
People gotta be comfortable when you play the
bathroom break.
The
That's right. We got bathroom break. So guess what? So this is the coolest thing. So tonight I get to hear some orchestral music from Mr. Caden Peters, who is going to be playing bass.
Nice.
And he is probably the cool thing is that if you hear the bass, it's Caden. He's the only bass. If he screws up, we'll be like, I told you should practice more. So we'll see. Here's Red. Here he is again. Guys, we're going to let you have a screen. He's going to have a screen to himself, and we'll let him just rock it out, blues it out, and jazz it out, however you want to call it, music it out.
I guess playing. I'll play Dirt Nash for you.
There you go. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome. My pleasure, son. Here it goes. One last night to play roulette and get away. One more motel, some colette, one more drink, one more smoke to forget what I have become. This everlasting chase to buy what can't be bought, fight what can't be fought. I never thought a thought would spit me out right here. Tell me this hell's not real. Oh my God, I lost my way. Can you help me? Oh my God, I need you now. I need you now. Searching through my car for a tiny piece of peace to fit into a piece of glass. Please don't ask. Rip down the seats, let out a scream. There's nothing but dirt and ash. Can you spare me some change? I'm a decent guy. Look me in the eyes and tell me what you see. I can see what you need. Yes, you need to be free. But I can't give you that. Oh, my God, I've lost my way. Can you help me? Thank you.
absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Just awesome. Speechless. Speechless. That.
Thanks so much.
We have time for one more song if you want to play it.
Yeah, let's do it. How about let's do Kayla. I'm gonna get the guitar for this one and
we'll cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, song. I agree. It's just beautiful. It's
thank you. So yeah, so this one's called Kayla. I called a ride down the mountain. It was a bright sunny day. Grass smelled sweet like honey. I was walking fast like I was being chased down. A man drove by and saw my thumb. Where you going? Where you from? Rolled down his window and asked me again. I said, anywhere is fine, just please not here. When he said his name, I did not listen. He asked about the car all on tape, and I told him sweet lies. I'll say anything to get what I want. Sometimes, I'm still walking, dragging these bones around with me. I got a deadline coming and I'm not free. This precious life, you see, slipping through my grasp. When it's all done, I want to feel right looking back. Got me off somewhere in Maine, dragging a suitcase full of clothes. Then I started searching. One broken wheel that slowed me down. Met her on the corner of Congress and Pine Street. Oh, I could tell she used to be fine. Oh, I could tell she was just like me, yeah. I could tell she felt she had nothing left to lose. She had hills below her eyes, her name was Kayla. She lost her husband back in May, found him with ice in his veins. Now she's running down the streets doing $40 jobs. I'm still walking, dragging these bones around with me. I got a deadline coming and I'm not free. This precious life, you see, is slipping through my grasp. When it's all done, I want to feel right looking back. Payday loan in a pawn shop. Wooden Buddha in my hand. Swear it's blessed by a virgin, yeah. Under a tree in the Himalayan sun. I watch the nights turn into day. I can feel you burning in my chest. I lost the will to be decent. The devil stole my life, left me for dead. Stayed up all night, we did no talking. She had an ear pressed to the door for 8 hours straight. She said, I think they're coming, I better go. Like it ain't good to a ship, you got me to lie down thinking, singing, oh yeah. This can't be it. I'm walking alone in this stranglehold, and it's getting old, and I'm feeling so blue. Where I've been, oh yeah. I'm still walking, dragging these bones around with me. I got a deadline coming and I'm not free. This precious life, you see, is slipping through my veins. When it's all done, I want to be right. Looking back, yeah, looking back, looking back.
wanna feel right, looking back, said looking back, looking back. I wanna feel right, looking back, yeah, looking back, looking back. I wanna feel right, looking back.
That's awesome. That was amazing.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. This has been fun.
We are coming to our hour. We have gotten to the hour, and guess what? Any last words, James? Any last questions? Any last thoughts?
I was going to say, what else you got like coming up like wise? I mean, I know you got like the album out and stuff like that. So what's like your future like hold between, you know, with you and your music?
So, well, this month, so I'm going to play in Harlem at a place called Sylvanah. And then on the 24th in October, I'm playing at a place called Shrine, actually in Harlem too. So yeah, I'm really excited about those shows.
Nice. And,
very cool.
Yeah. And very cool. Play more shows and get people to hear this thing, you know.
That's beautiful
plan. So
yeah, with having you on, I mean, we'll definitely so we got you like, so followed on all platforms as well, so everything that comes out or your post or whatever, we'll definitely share them out for you.
Thank you so much, guys, and I'll look forward to seeing some of your more shows and checking out some of them desserts.
That's for sure. And being beat again, I thought, man, I had him this week, and I made pumpkin spice bread, and he brings in two cordial cherries and a freaking more bread.
I do give you props on that. That's awesome. It's not just a one ingredient or something that's already made. You actually made it.
I did make it. Yes, indeed. I didn't buy it from Walmart. I actually baked this thing, and it was fresh when it came out. So, everybody, thanks again. Go check out Red Waters on Spotify.
Yeah, Waters.
If you are in New York, go check them out. If you are in New York City, and we have some friends out in Jersey, go check out in Harlem Red Waters. He's playing on the 10th in Sylvanah.
Yeah.
At the Sylvanah. And so we want you guys to go check him out as well. Go see him live. I bet he is absolutely amazing. We just saw him live. So I was like, what are we talking about? We just saw him. So amazing show. Yeah, amazing show. And so we are so happy we came on, Red. Thank you very much for your time. Sharing your music is a blast, and we are just excited. And again, when you're in the Tasty Licks family, you're on Spotify, you're on our playlist, and you're going to get, you know, us to promote you as much as we can because we love your music. So
thank you.
And
definitely
check
out anybody watching right now. Definitely check out his stuff. Definitely check out his music on, it's on YouTube. Look it up. It's on Spotify. Look it up. I mean, it's good stuff.
Yeah. It's great stuff. Amazing stuff. So, and we will see you later because I am off to an orchestra concert to go watch my son blast it on the bass. Let's see him. We might see some pictures coming up on the Instagrams. Maybe a video. I don't know, but we'll see you guys later. Thank you guys later. Thank you all, everybody in the chat. We appreciate your time. We'll talk to you all soon.